we're back. The Throw It in the Ocean podcast. We've been on a little hiatus. We're going to get into everything that we've been going through over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, 10 days, something like that. Yost, are you there?
Yeah, man, we're here. It's been a long time, and it has not been good to be away from the podcast, that's for sure.
No, I'm excited to be back. Go ahead and let everybody know today's episode is brought to you by Men's Warehouse, your Canadian tuxedo source.
Is it all denim? It's just a whole denim outlet.
It is. It's all denim.
The Canadian tuxedo. I actually never heard anything about that until I think I met Jim, honestly. The Canadian tuxedo. Mainly because, like, I'm pretty sure Jim dated girls that wore the Canadian tuxedo.
It's underrated. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever owned a denim jacket, let alone like a denim shirt. The denim shirt brings it over the top.
Yeah, denim shirt, that's commitment. And even could even go the three-piece Canadian tuxedo with a denim vest as well.
And then you get like a, see, the worst kind of denim for me is like the whitewash denim. Like it's like the lighter blue.
I don't think anybody looks good in that denim, to be honest with you.
No, I do think there's kinds of denim that like look better. But man, that like super whitewashed denim, or imagine the Canadian tuxedo with like the kind of jeans that are popular now with like the holes everywhere. I mean, not much to the imagination, that's for sure.
No, you're literally just look like you're going to an advertising photo shoot or something.
Yeah, there's nobody wearing that on purpose. I swear nobody's wearing all denim on purpose. It's just to be like stick out and for something. So
heck yeah. Well, good to be back. I guess I had a couple things on the list. We got a lot to talk about, catch up on. I guess to give everybody a little a heads up on what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk, I guess, kind of give a backup on what we've been doing for 10 days. I think it's been about 10 days, but I wanted to talk about EMPs, driving
like electromagnetic pulses.
Yeah. Then just a little quick one on driving a manual car.
Nice.
And then I stumbled, I was doing some stuff for work and I like double clicked in Google and it popped up my like last, I don't know, I think it pulls up 8 search inquiries and I was like, God, those are random. So yeah. I thought that might be kind of funny. I don't know if you had a chance to look at those, but so we'll get into some randomness. And anyways, what have you been up to, Yost? I know you got some news to tell everybody.
Yeah, so we are having another, no, I'm just kidding. So the last time we talked, man, I want to say November 30th, the Thanksgiving wrap-up episode, which would have been a Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Leading up into that week was the first week of basketball practice and hopping into that. And then that Friday, December 4th, was my birthday. And I took that off from school just to have like a me day. Ended up having a great day. I got some cool stuff for the birthday and everything. And then caught COVID.
So I was going to say, I don't know if I would say that was a great day, but.
You know, so here's what happened. And this is what I'm pretty sure happened. So one of the other coaches on the basketball team, we had been at practice all day. We had a coaches meeting, you know, sitting together for 30 some minutes. He went home later that night to put on some Vicks vapor rub because he wasn't feeling well. And he said he couldn't smell it. Uh-oh. So he just went and got the rapid test. He tested positive. That was probably like Wednesday that week. Probably Wednesday. And then, let's see, what day was it? Saturday. We had morning practice. I went to morning practice feeling pretty good. Had a little bit of a tickle. Didn't think anything of it. I got home and I started playing video games with Todd and everybody. And like, as I was sitting in the chair playing, talking with them, I was like, holy cow, I can feel COVID coursing through my veins.
You literally said that.
Yeah. I was at like noon. And then I'd say 5 or 6 o'clock that night, full blown fever, aches, headache. Everything, went and got tested that Sunday morning at 8:15 in the morning. Had to wait 24 hours for the results. So I had to call in sick on Monday while I waited. Monday morning, got the results back. It was positive, and I was feeling absolutely horrible. With the aches and the headaches and the fever chills and everything else that was going with it. The cough was nasty too. And yeah, so I'm on. That was Saturday, technically, is when it started. So here it is Friday, about a week into it. And my aches are gone. You know, the fever kind of stuff is gone. But now I've got the full-on upper respiratory congestion. sinus pain, cough, all that good stuff. So yeah, man, I full blown got it. And now I don't have taste and smell. So
yeah, I wonder, I don't know. I mean, we all hear lots about it, but you know, the first probably 3.5-4 days or something like that, I bet you that's the, I think they call it like the viral phase, where it's just kind of, your body's just fighting. And then what I've kind of gathered based on what you said and what others have said, it kind of just moves on, and then it just becomes like a flu or cold, and moves kind of into your respiratory system. And so, I mean, your voice actually sounds pretty good today. Hopefully most people are probably not even going to notice.
Yeah. It's not bad right now. I can feel it a little bit when I talk, in my nose and stuff. I'm drinking orange juice, but it's like literally, I can just tell that it's cold. That's about it. So it's interesting, like talking with the doctors and stuff. I can, you know, they just basically said Tylenol and ibuprofen, and they called and talked to me for like 45 minutes about close contact tracing and all that stuff. And, it was just, it's one of those things where like, I knew it was going to happen. And I'm pretty sure I had it when the first round came around, like February and around there. Cause I feel the exact same without the horrible lungs and cough like I had then.
We haven't really talked about it here. We've talked about it off the pod, but I'm fairly certain with the symptoms that you described and the symptoms that everybody's described and just the timing of it. And I was in a large group of in-state and out-of-state people at a work conference. I've been about like mid, late February. You know, I'm pretty confident I had it at that time, and probably kind of got feeling back to normal in early March, and then everything just went to hell. Yeah. But so who knows? It was too late to really go find out by the time we had like the antigen tests or whatever, antibody tests. Yeah. And but who knows? And it'd be interesting to know if you truly had some other variety of it and had two strains of it. Cause I had seen a few people reporting that, but you know, hopefully it's about done for you.
Yeah. And they say it's like 90 days to where you pretty much can't catch it again. So, I mean, even the odds are that you could catch it again kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, you know, I don't know the exact science behind it. It's super interesting though. So two things that I've been thinking about with it is, the fact that about a month ago, beginning of November, Carly had tested positive, and she had congestion and loss of taste and smell. And I like stayed away from her for a little bit, but you know, for the most part, like we were right next to each other all the time, and I never got it.
Yeah. That's weird.
And then now I get it. Right. So what was the difference there? That's one thing I've been thinking about. What is the difference between why I didn't get it then compared to now? And then the other side of it, go ahead.
Oh, well, I think, you know what, we are speculating, but I think wherever you got it, you know, who knows if it was truly a super spreader, but it does become more infectious depending on who it's, you know, who's carrying it or spreading it around. You know what I mean? Right. It's almost like, that's kind of what, you know, and you can speak to it more than me, but that's kind of what they're saying on the under 18 population. Even if they get it and their symptoms are super mild or no symptoms, they can spread it, but it's a lot less spread than it is in compromised and or other people that are just generally less equipped to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I don't know. The other side of it is the fact that like, and I could be saying this completely wrong, but it to me, it almost is like a testament to wearing masks. I know it's kind of ironic that a guy who wears masks all the time ended up catching it, but it was technically the one time I wasn't wearing a mask.
Oh, really?
So if I did catch it from this person in a coach's meeting, you know, we're in a tiny little room for 30 minutes and the practice was over and I didn't have a mask on. Like I should have, but none of us did. And I wasn't even crossing my mind because I'd been exposed. You know, we had at one point almost 30 some kids positive and a ton of them had come through my classroom where they're in there for 90 minutes and I had a mask on and had no issues. And then the one time I didn't, if this is where I caught it, that, you know, if anything, that seems like a good reason to wear one. Maybe it was actually working. Maybe. Or it could have just been, I was worn down because it was the first part of the week. So my immune system is a little bit lower than it normally is. You know, waking up early every single day. and then staying late every single day, not getting much sleep, you know, in the ins and outs of that, could have lowered my immune system to be just enough to where it popped in.
Just crack the door.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'll tell you the one thing. And by no means did I do this on purpose, but the way it works out is I'll go back to school. Next Wednesday will be my first day back. I'll go Wednesday and Thursday. We leave for across the state for an overnight basketball trip Friday. And then that Friday also starts Christmas break. So in the month of December, I'll have worked I've worked 5 days total.
Yeah. Damn.
just because of the 10 days off for this. And then like I said, as soon as I come back, that Friday starts Christmas break and we're already gone because of basketball. So yeah, it's December. We ended up working out kind of nicely like that to have a little bit of a break, but I'll be honest, like the first couple of days, I would have way rather been in school just like, you know, 24 hours straight. Those aches were some of the worst I've ever had. So
yeah, for sure. For sure.
I couldn't sit or stand in one spot for too long because if I stood straight up, just like staring at a wall, like I did sometimes, like the bottoms of my feet would hurt more than like normal. You know what I mean? Like that the muscle aches and like my calves would start to hurt. And it was just like, it just hurt more than normal. So trying to lay down and go to bed, and I threw like NyQuil, DayQuil, everything at it, and it just never touched it. So,
yep. Yep.
So yeah, that's where the podcast has been. Sunday we had talked about getting some stuff recorded, and that's when I was full blown into it, and we just kept pushing it and pushing it. And I know there's another day we thought about it, and then Todd had a meeting, and yeah, it's just been crazy. So I'm glad.
Yeah, honestly, after the Thanksgiving episode, that was a rough, I don't know, it's probably like the first, it was a 4.5 day off. You know, we recapped at the Thanksgiving episode, but going back that next week was, it was energy consuming. You know what I mean? It just kind of, boy, by the end of that week, we talked about it on Thursday, Friday, and we were both just kind of like, eh. I don't know if we had the momentum or the energy at that point. And, but you know, I would say I was looking forward to one on Sunday. And then when you were feeling real rough there, that was not going to be that was a no fly zone, I guess is what I'm saying, but it's good to be back.
Yeah. I think the best thing about, not recording is like, people are asking for it. I mean, we've got some dedicated people that are listening to us, on their commutes or during work or, you know, whatever it is, they're like, dang, man, like I went through there and I refreshed and I saw you guys didn't have anything since Thanksgiving. So, which was kind of nice because some people said they went back and listened to some other episodes, but, people were wanting it. So I told Todd today, I was like, man, the people need a pod. So.
No, that's good. I guess the other thing I was going to say, in the last, since we recorded, let everybody know, I somehow snuck in the window where they were available, but I bought a Rogue Echo bike.
Yep.
And so I got that at the house, and honestly, I haven't been to the gym going back to our Sober October episodes, or, you know, more like clean up your life episodes, but, I haven't really been back to the gym because of my back stuff. And, I honestly don't know with the mask mandates here, if I need one at the gym or whatever. So, but having that here, has been kind of nice, and jumping on that in the mornings, and holy cow, it's I think that thing kicks your butt. And the crazy thing is, it's gonna be kind of a mental fight, but it never is gonna feel easier. That's what an air bike does,
right? Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you can be in horrible shape, and you just have to kind of. I've been tracking the averages after each workout, would it depend on what I do, and then hopefully, you know, in a month, the averages will start going up, but it's gonna feel the same. It's gonna feel hard as hell the whole time.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. So it's been kind of neat trying to get a little bit back in shape, and it's been beautiful here. We've been doing construction. I know we got some really good feedback on the Ask Engineer segment, which we're going to try to keep doing. People like that, talking about roundabouts and stuff. And speaking of roundabouts, that's, you know, it's been 60s up until today. We've been working real hard, contractors, and getting that done here in Cheyenne. So yeah, man, it's been a honestly, it's gone really fast, other than we would have usually recorded 2 or 3 episodes in that period. So,
right. Oops. Hold on. I messed up a setting there. Okay. The Echo bike thing, I was I was looking into it and thought to myself, you know, I'll grab one. No big deal. I saw the price tag and I changed my mind. It makes sense, but at the same time, it's like also, it's like my biggest issue with Rogue in general. And who would have known that I have beef with an exercise company with the shape that I'm in? But like Rogue, they just know that they've got a good product and they just bump the price up like crazy. Like, hey, because those bikes are amazing. Like, they're really nice. I looked into squat racks for the home. I've looked into all kinds of stuff like Rogue, because it's just, that's a great brand. But it's just like, man, just because it's shown up on TV at a CrossFit Games does not mean it's like, I don't know. That's what's frustrating about it, is like they're like very full of themselves.
I don't disagree at all. The only one that I would argue a little bit about is the air bike, the Echo bike. Right. Most of the other ones that you'd consider buying, like the Airdyne, or I think that's a Schwinn. There's another version, I can't remember. But they're either as expensive or more, and they're not as quality
right
of a product. So in that regard, I mean, this thing should last damn near forever. It's beefy. Honestly, not that hard to move. I built it, put it together in the garage, brought it in since it's going to be winter, but I want to use it outside in the garage and stuff. But yeah, so there we are. We're back to current, everybody listening, and we'll keep things moving forward, and hopefully we don't have any unfortunate big gaps anymore. So,
right. And it kind of sucks. So, getting back into it, you know, glad to be recording here on a Friday. The thing that sucks about it though is that tonight's the home opener for the basketball team. So, I'll be sitting at home watching us play the number one team. Well, one of the best teams in the state tonight. And then same with tomorrow. And, you know, that's just part of this time that we're in, I guess. But
yep.
It feels weird, because tonight's also senior night for a group of guys that we have. And I started my coaching career with these guys. Well, not this specific group. This would have been my second year in coaching when they were eighth graders. Now they're seniors. And I've known this group of guys for quite a while. So I'm kind of also bummed that I'm not going to be there to be a part of their like final night, which, you know, kind of sucks for them, because it's, you know, your senior night's like the one game that you want to schedule against somebody that's kind of a cupcake game, and, you know, you can get a win under your belt and everybody can look good. But with the state of everything going on, in case the season gets canceled, they still want to honor them. So
yep.
We will do it tonight.
So, yep. Yeah, no kidding. That is tough, but you'll be back at it here in a couple more days, and everybody will be glad to have you back, I'm sure.
Right. One other thing I wanted to talk about actually was, so for my birthday, Carly had gotten me a bunch of great stuff. But one of my favorite things that she got, and I'm going to send one to you, actually a couple to you, is she made stickers for the podcast.
Nice.
Just like our logo, Throw It in the Ocean podcast. And she just got them printed out. So I'm actually going to like do some viral marketing, and I'm just going to like start slamming them on like walls and shit. And people will be like, what the hell is this? And then next thing you know, we're getting booked on Joe Rogan. So that would be like the goal, is like to not even make our podcast big, just like make it big enough to where Joe Rogan want to have a conversation with us.
Just be done after that. Yeah.
Yeah. The first thing he gets on there, he's like, guys, I want to rank some stuff with you, and I got to ask an engineer, you know?
Yep.
So, which we kind of touched on last night when we were talking, like, there's really not a good segment for teachers. Like, ask a teacher. Like, Todd did that for 16 years. I don't think he doesn't have any more questions that he needs a teacher to answer. So
I know.
I don't know if we ever wrote it down. There was something that you and I were talking about a little bit ago, and we like literally stopped our conversation because you're like, that would be funny to talk about on the pod. And I don't remember what it was.
I actually remember that conversation. I remember saying that to you, and I don't remember what it was either. So dang. Shame on us.
Okay. So I just was scrolling through some stuff. Another thing I want to talk about for my birthday is, so, an appointment to do an isolation tank, or, you know, isolation float.
Yep. I've always wanted to do it. I've never done one.
Yeah. It's amazing. I've only done it, you know, a handful of times. And every time has been great, super relaxing. Once you like kind of did like let it happen, the first time is a little weird. This time was wild though, man. I remember just getting in, and it's just giant tank, you know, maybe like 2 feet of water, ton of salt. So you just float instantly. The temperature of the water matches your internal temperature. So once you relax and calm, it just feels like you're floating. You can't really hear anything. You can't really feel anything. And so I remember laying there thinking, I had some music that was playing of my own, and I closed my eyes at first to kind of, 'cause it feels like you should be taking a nap, but then I open them, because then when you realize there's no light in there, it's like there's no reason to close your eyes. So I remember thinking like, man, okay, I'm going to start clearing my thoughts here and focus on my breathing. And I was, you know, I started breathing a couple breaths in, you know, 4 second hold, whatever. And then I remember like kind of shifting around and being like, man, I wonder how long I've been in here. And then like instantly the little voice comes on. It's like, your journey has been completed. That it was a full hour.
Holy cow.
Like once I like focused on my breathing, and then that, like, and I didn't fall asleep, because I remember like seeing like not hallucinations, but like shapes in the darkness. You know how like your mind just like try it, like creates images or whatever. And then I just got up, and that was the end of the journey. It went by fast. And I wouldn't say like I had this spiritual journey or anything like that, where I saw God and he told me who built the pyramids and shit like that. It was more just like my brain was off for an hour, which, to be honest, like this year is a godsend to not be stressing about something at some point. So if you get the chance, I feel like Cheyenne's got to have something.
No, I don't think we do, man. I think I could go down to Colorado. They actually, for a minute when we were in Gillette, they had one. But I don't even know if it's still around. So I'll have to look in Colorado in the Front Range.
Right. It's pretty cool. The first time it is a little weird. You do have to just kind of like let yourself go, which I don't think most people have a problem doing. But it is hard to relax, because at first you kind of feel like you're going to have to hold up your head, your arms, you're going to have to like be balancing yourself. Like, no, you literally just lay there like it's a bed. And then next thing you know, the water goes still and you forget that you're in the water, like, because it's cool. The same temperature. So yeah, that was a cool experience. I've got a couple more left on my punch card that I'm going to take care of. So yeah, I'm looking forward to using those up.
Heck yeah, man. I'm jealous. I want to do it.
Right. So diving into some of those topics you had brought up at the beginning of the podcast, let's talk them out. What are some ones that you got?
Let me back up. I've been watching a whole bunch of the old Top Gear. And even I watched the Grand Tour stuff that's out. I think we've talked about Top Gear, but it's just like one of my favorite shows. It's car based, but it's really just more of like a entertainment talk show with three really funny dudes that come from a variety of backgrounds. And sometimes they do journeys and stuff like that. But so anybody that's not heard of it or watched it, definitely check that out. It's on Amazon Prime, all of it. You can watch about probably 5 to 7 seasons of the original Top Gear. And then I actually signed up for the free Motor Trend for like whatever, a week or 10 days, so that I could watch specials and stuff. Then I decided, yeah, I'm just going to keep it for now, and because it's just all access to all those episodes. So anyways, watching that show in the mornings and stuff, drinking my coffee before I hop on the Echo bike, they were talking about, I just got to thinking about driving a manual car. And so I thought this would be applicable, because if I recall, you don't or have never driven a manual car for any kind of duration.
Yeah, right.
Would you say you know how?
I would say I know how. Yeah, I just I've dinked around a little bit on some like smaller cars and trucks. I have the basic ideas. I learned how to drive on like an old truck that was really hard to drive. So anything after that was kind of easy. But yeah, I understand the basics of it, but I do not, I don't ever want to drive one. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. And I guess it's a curious thought. I don't know what's going on these days, 'cause I'm really not in any environment where I know what new drivers, you know, 16 to 18 year old kids are getting for vehicles. But yeah, maybe right. you can answer that question. Are they even, is anybody driving a stick other than the odd person here or there that has a 20 year old kind of beater that their parents, you know, got them or that they bought for $500?
Right. So our school's kind of, well, and it's not just our school, but like we have a lot of car guys in school, car and truck guys. We actually have like a pretty big group of guys that are into drifting and tuning cars and stuff like that. I give this one kid crap all the time because he loves Miatas and he drives a Subaru Forester that is absolutely lowered all the way it can go. We just have a weird kind of group of guys that I for as far as I know, they all drive stick or they at least know how to really well. And then sure. I know there's a couple kids here and there that do as well. I don't think they're actively seeking them out though.
So that's interesting. And it kind of goes towards what I was going to bring up, but it may be more rural, smaller communities are a little bit closer to when we were in high school and like when I grew up only driving sticks and things like that. But in the bigger cities and in general, even here, I feel like I see only cars that I know are just manuals. And it's kind of like, I was just curious, is that not very many manufacturers are making them anymore. There are some, but there's going to be a time where the vast majority of the driving public doesn't know how to drive a manual vehicle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm actually looking through like at June this year of cars that you can still get manual. And it's still pretty like, there's still obviously some like intense cars in there, but there's some pretty basic stuff that are still manual, which I could definitely see kids learning and driving on those. But yeah, I think you're right. I guess I just don't see the need for them anymore. Like unless you're, I guess I just don't, you know.
I guess my thoughts on it are, I really enjoy driving a stick. I've gone back and forth a ton of times with the various vehicles I've owned. And I think I miss it. Like I want to have a vehicle that I can go shift in. And I think learning to drive on one, you're more at attention when you drive for one, which I think is good for beginning drivers. And I think is important. You can't be texting. And I think you learn how to drive a car just better, you know, not even, I guess I was going to say car control, but I mean, that's a separate topic in and of itself, but just understanding like the mechanical part of it, I think. And once you get older, which we both are getting older, you know, I like to daily drive my car. That's an automatic. It's a fun car to drive, but there's at least one day a week I wish I had a manual.
Yeah. I would agree that I think it even probably gives you more in touch with your car. Like, you learn to like, just feel the car, when to shift, the different sounds it makes, like the different things it likes, you know, stuff like that. Like you kind of, I feel like with a manual, you definitely kind of get to know the car more. And then I think it can become more automatic, as you go on. But then I also think like, you know, it does help with attentiveness, with driving, but man, like some of these kids, like, I don't know. I know they know what they're doing and stuff, but more than anything, that group of kids that are into cars and stuff like that, they're just, they don't give a shit about, paying attention and stuff like that. They're literally just going as fast as they can, as quickly as they can. Like, I bet if I asked every single one of those kids, they've all got speeding tickets for going 100 miles an hour. And so it's like, they're not, I don't even know if they know the benefits of driving it, but you know what I mean? Like they're racing. Okay. Yeah. Your Mazda Miata is racing a Honda Civic on the interstate. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's not, to me, that's not even like a great use of a manual right there. You know what I mean? Like get a sweet car, like get an STI and just start slapping gears, you know, driving around. Like that's cool. But I think most of the guys are just like blowing their transmissions. They're putting unnecessary parts on their cars. Like I would almost guess most of the people, and this goes like for some kids that we grew up with too, Like they made their cars worse once they got a hold of them and started putting stuff on them.
Oh yeah, I just watched the I just watched the Top Gear episode where they attempted to buy a vehicle for, I think, what was the rule? It was like they wanted to take a vehicle that was like $5,000 and and try to upgrade it to be as fast as a $15,000 Evo on a track.
Right.
With mods. And literally they did like $10,000 worth of mods and it just kept getting slower with everyone they put on.
Right.
It was kind of hilarious. And they kind of made it comical. They picked like a van and then they like chopped the roof and took everything out of it. But it's just kind of funny.
I do think it's pretty cool though, that like the interest level that these kids have in this stuff, like they're learning to make mistakes and how to fix problems with their own cars and stuff like that. But like, man, it's not cheap mistakes, or it's, you know, it's just like, oh, I slapped an air cooler on my car. Don't even know what that is. Just be, you know, I slapped an air cooler on my car and then, you know, my leaf coil spring blew and I'm like, oh man, should have put that air cooler on there. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea, but like, that's what it always sounds like, is like, oh man, my car's in the shop because I, you know, I put a lug nut here when it was supposed to be a screw or something. And I'm just like, yeah, that sucks, man. So, but I don't know. It's cool that they're interested in it. And I know a lot of them do want to go on to be mechanics and work on cars and stuff like that, which is great. They'll be the ones that have to help out guys like me that don't know shit about that stuff. And you know, they're going to, if I ever bring my car into one of my former students, like their shop, you know, they're going to take advantage of me. Like, I just know, I already can think of like a handful of kids that if I'm taking it in there, like, yo, straight out of blinker fluid. And I'm like, well, what you got to do?
Yeah, I was going to say, yep.
So.
Nice. Well, yeah, I just thought about it. It's almost, I guess the short of it was, I would prefer that everybody has to do it as kind of a rite of passage. I just think you learn better. But anyways, yeah.
Right.
So I got another one I want to throw at you.
Okay.
Wrapping gifts, wrapping Christmas presents and birthday presents, because, I mean, you and I know we've got a lot of birthdays and things happening from beginning of December through about mid-January. So I do all of my wrapping this time of year. And honestly, I'm not very good at wrapping presents. No. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I used to be good, Todd. I was good once. And the problem is like, I've never really celebrated Christmas. I know this sounds weird, but I've never really celebrated Christmas up until recently. Like when I was younger and stuff like that, with my grandparents and everything, like, yeah, we had presents and everything like that, but I was like too young to do stuff on my own. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
Oh, you got that fishing pole for your grandpa. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't do anything, but my name's on it. And then as time went on, like, I've always been broke, to be honest. So like Christmas shopping was always the last thing on my mind. And then the first year with Carly, I know we did Christmas presents together, and I feel like I was pretty damn good at wrapping. And then we had a couple of years where we were broke and we didn't do anything. And then we went to Mexico and then we bought a house. So it's always been like the last thing that we do. And then there was a phase two where if I was giving somebody a gift, I put it in a little like bag with some tissue paper on it, you know?
Yeah. That's the elegant cop out.
Right. This year though, we are doing it pretty nice this year. With Carly's dad being here with us and everything and in the new house and, all that good stuff. The house is nice and filled up with things and it's cozy and everything. So we all got some presents for each other and, wrapping looked good until the dog got a hold of it, you know? So, there's a couple presents that got some holes and some patchwork on them, but like, I understand the elegance of wrapping, but also at the same time, I'm like, man, it is such a waste.
It kind of is. So Brandy's really good at it. My best, I've had a few like nice, good shape boxes, like squares that I've cut the right size paper and got a real nice wrapping on. I'm like, damn, that's like the best wrap I've ever done. And it's like not as good as Brandy's worst wrap. And honestly, my dad is actually a ridiculously good gift wrapper as well. And I've even been like, all right, you got to show me these magical ways, but it'll make it look so easy. I'm just not good at it. And the other thing I think that I was going to throw out there, I feel like with the advancement of like technology and plastics and molding, I feel like gifts come in really weird shapes and stuff now.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was all in a box. Everything was in a box.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I was about to jump in was, like for both of us, like we, you know, we can throw some sparkly paper on a box and call it a day. The real money makers, the real present rappers, the real heroes out there are the ones that can wrap up like a freaking pillow that's not in a box, or, you know, an odd shaped item. Some people even go as far as taking it out of the easy thing to wrap and wrapping it like in a complicated way to throw people off the case.
Oh yeah.
And so like, I got a present for Carly, and I'm not going to say, cause she'll listen to this before Christmas, but it wasn't in a box, and I cut the paper to put it on there. And as I'm like folding the two middles in to like do what I needed to do, realized I didn't have enough paper.
Dude, I did that today.
So I took an extra piece from a different color wrapping paper, and I put it down the middle so it looked, just to cover the part that I couldn't cover. So
I've done that exact thing today. I did the same thing. I came up short on a box, and I was like, God damn it. And I even thought I measured it. Yeah. I just had to cut a little Band-Aid piece, and I tried to match the pattern up so you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you can tell.
Yeah. You definitely can tell. Yeah. It just kind of cracks me up. Cause like I can definitely do square objects. I could do like a shirt. I like to do the shirts where you like roll them up like a sausage, and then you like twist the ends so it looks like a big piece of candy in wrapping paper.
Heck yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. But you know, we also, between our family and your family, we do different Christmas stuff. It sounds like you guys do more like smaller stuff that kind of fits in stockings and everything like that, which I think we're going to get into. This might be our last like year of kind of bigger presents and, you know, all that stuff. But we basically had to pick up all the presents from under the tree, put them up on the table, because the cat and the dog just would like destroy them if we left them down there. So,
yep.
And then like our stockings are full, but like none of it's wrapped. And then we had to put paper over the whole of the stocking because the stuff's just like sticking out. So that was like our way of wrapping some of the smaller stuff.
Yeah. So we do, yeah, like set a budget, pick items that can fit in a stocking. And then to avoid that part of it, because that's all we do, we wrap those smaller gifts. But I still end up wrapping stuff for anniversaries and birthdays. And yeah, Randy does the same thing. You know what I mean? So
whenever you guys set a budget for your gifts, which is great, it's the responsible thing to do. What if, like, what happens if one of you just says, F it, I'm going hard this year, I don't even care. And you get her like a Rolex, or you know what I mean? Like I want Todd to get an Apple Watch. So if I went to Brandy and I said, Brandy, get Todd an Apple Watch, and she got you one, but you got her like a $40 gift or whatever your limit was.
Yeah.
Like what does that do to the dynamic? Are you pissed now?
I don't know how. I guess we'd have to ask. I've never been in that situation. I've done that to Brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's all in good spirits, right? So.
Right.
If it happened to me, I would feel bad. I'd be like, God damn it, I underdid it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But right. I don't want other people to feel like that if I do that to them. I don't want her to feel like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think what you should do is, you set a minimum. And you say, yeah, like this is the minimum. And then like once every 3 years, you get a wild card, like a physical wild card from an Uno deck. and you both have your own. And like, all right, this year's limit's $100. Okay. Still has to fit in the stocking, whatever. You walk out there, you found the perfect gift. While she's eating breakfast, you slap that wild card down on there just to let her know that you went a little bit more.
It's not so a bad idea.
But then if you use that wild card, you can't use it again for 3 years. So it's almost like balances itself out. Like you spent $300 when it was supposed to be $100. Now you got a couple of years where you're back under the radar. So
true. True. That's a good idea.
And or here's the big brain move. Okay. Well, I'll get into that. This, the problem with the Christmas shopping here in a second. Here's the big brain move. You slap down the wild card, but you went the bare minimum. Now she's forced to slap down the wild card. She buys you a badass gift. You get her a block, a cheese cutter, and then you're on the way with an Apple Watch.
that is sneaky.
Here's the downside, though. And Carly and I have ran into this, and maybe you guys do it differently. When we're buying presents for each other, it's not like my own money. Like, oh, I saved up my money to get you this. It's like our money together.
I know.
Hey, can you not look at the bank account for a month? Or, hey, don't go on our Amazon account because we got stuff on there.
We actually, like that, did you know you can do a separate standalone Amazon for her?
Yeah, so we did.
We just figured that out, yeah.
But the problem was, is the one that Carly's account was that was tied to mine was her old college email address that she hasn't had for like 3 years now. So we can't even access it to like use it. So I had to kick her off mine, and I can't add anybody on there for 90 days. So,
oh, what the hell?
Otherwise we would have been able to, we would have been able to knock it out. But,
and Amazon's so ridiculous now. Whatever you look at, they're like, what about this and this and this for yeah, that?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know it instantly.
Yeah. So it's actually gone pretty well with that. I think we'll find out if she knew about anything before she got it and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Speaking of Amazon, we received a bunch of gifts in the mail the other day for stocking stuffers. And we received a gift that we did not order. It was like a lover's keychain for gamers. I don't know how to describe it. But it was addressed to our address. It had my name on it. And the inside, there was a gift thing for it. And it said, happy 10 years, baby. Happy 10-year anniversary, baby. Love. And then it said, like, love you more or something like that. Or whoa, it said from love you.
What?
So, yeah, dude. So it was weird right off the gate. Like, neither Carly or I ordered it. We haven't been together 10 years. I don't even have friendships that have been together for 10 years half the time.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought it was like Casey or John messing with me or something. But no, I think we are, it's either one of two things. We're a part of a brushing scam, or the company sent out something. They got our information somehow, and they sent us a product, and then they're going to put up a fake review of a 5-star for it.
Probably.
So if it's the brushing scam, it also means that the people have our information, and we're going to continue to receive gifts, and eventually we could receive some sketchy stuff. So we'll keep an eye out on that. But yeah, that was weird.
That is weird.
It was like $16 too. So I don't know. I think it was just they wanted a review, and they're just sending stuff out. And doing it that way, but how they got my information, I don't know. So
that is wild. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a pile that on with all the scams that are going on these days. People sending you free gifts.
I have had one similar, but it was a tack on gift that I didn't know was coming, that the like small, you know, company that I bought from was like, here's a second gift just for being a customer type of thing. And yep. I was like, well, and it was actually kind of a cool, it was like a $25 value or something.
Nice. Yeah, this is the only time of the year that we really use Amazon like crazy. And so the 2-day shipping is nice. Like we've talked before, I've gotten some stuff early. And so that's always nice too. But I'm kind of over the shopping stuff just because, I don't know, it's a stressful time of the year for that stuff. And I'm glad we can do the majority of it online now and not have to do it in person.
Yeah, I wonder how the in-store purchasing, it was already struggling. I bet it's pretty bad this year.
Right. And I tried to do my best to supporting some of the local businesses that we really like. And some of the places I wanted to go this like week or two before Christmas, I can't because now I'm stuck inside.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So I'm hoping next week and end of next week and then right before Christmas, I'll go to a couple places and pick up some gift cards and stuff like that. Honestly, like... it won't even be a surprise. Like I'll just get a gift card at a local brewery for some pizza and to fill up our growlers. And that just kind of helps them out. And then at some point we can just be like, oh yeah, let's go use this.
Yeah. So, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Cause Spearfish is really good about local businesses and being super supportive and all that stuff. And a lot of those places are sponsoring our basketball stuff and our athletics and everything. So it's nice to go out and do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Christmas, man. I'm excited. Even with COVID, it's still the best time of year. You know, nothing lately has been better than waking up and it's pretty dreary outside and it's cold and turn on the Christmas tree and everything and just sit there sipping coffee in the morning. I'll even throw on like the burning log on the TV with some Christmas music in the background and just like sit and vibe for a little bit in the mornings. It's super nice actually. So
yeah, we got all our stuff up. I think last Sunday. So yeah, we actually got a real nice looking inside and got the tree and got lots of lights and stuff scattered in all of our viewing spots. And yeah, that honestly might be one of my favorite, get up in the morning, turn that stuff on before the sunrise. And it's pretty calming. So
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the calm vibe from a Christmas tree. But then as you hit like, you know, February and March, instead of being calming, it's just like, why is this still up?
Yeah, so, we got a, I don't know about you guys, but we got about a, probably a little over an inch of snow today. It was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, we got nothing. We're just kind of cold here today. So no snow at all, which is weird. And hopefully we're going to get some for Christmas a little bit, but
yeah.
So you piqued my interest earlier, at the top of the show, you decided to bring up talking about an EMP.
Yep.
My knowledge of EMP, electromagnetic pulse, literally is from Call of Duty.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know where you're heading with this one. And if you're looking for some knowledge, I have no idea where it's going to come from. So
I just was thinking, so there was a Nat Geo, if somebody wants to look it up, there's a Nat Geo did a documentary or I don't know if it's a full documentary, but it's like basically a mini episode type thing about EMPs and just like how vulnerable we are. And yeah. There's three potential scenarios, where we could be in a lot of hurt, I guess. It would literally send us a long ways back in like technology. But so the three types would be like a true like EMP attack. And so in that case, it would be like, you know, like an act of war or terrorism or something. But apparently if somebody detonates a nuclear weapon, like in the Earth's like ionosphere,
right,
it'll literally just fry that. And that's where like our communications moves. It would just fry that. And then it would just basically wreck all electronic devices that we use.
Yeah.
And like, I'm talking the power grid, like everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems so like, that is so vulnerable to me. It's just like, what the hell? Because we don't have fail safes. Like even fail safes, if you have a whole home generator, odds are that thing has a circuit board in it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, from what I'm reading right now is like, as you were talking, it's like, yeah, it's taken down everything from medical to financial to just the basic stuff of, you know, food, water, all kinds of stuff. They're even saying like certain places that water is like filtrated or like taken care of and filtered by electrical devices. So thing you know, people are getting dirty water and everything. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, we're dead.
I know. Dead. And then so the same thing could happen based like, I don't know a lot about this one, but I guess solar flares, if a large enough solar flare went off or something like that, it could do the same thing.
Right.
Like that's pretty freaky because it's not like we can, from what I know, I don't think we can track those.
I think solar flares are probably, from what I'm reading in this article, are actually more likely than an EMP attack from like a nuclear explosion. Which is crazy to think. And it also makes me think too, like now that we have, so I'm going to step back and then I'm going to come right back into it. So the other day in class, I was talking to kids about branches of the military. And I thought it was kind of funny that I was asking, you know, for them to name the different branches. But now Space Force is a legit branch.
Yeah, we had this conversation over Thanksgiving. And yeah, so it's Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and Space Force.
Yeah, and Space Force, yeah, they're recruiting from the Air Force and stuff like that, and it's a legit thing. And, you know, right here, provide freedom of operation in the United States, okay, in, from, and to space. So we've kind of just decided, the traveling through space to get to outer space, and then once you're out there, like, we're gonna watch over it.
That is weird, actually.
Which is weird to me, you know what I mean? Like... like, hey, you guys sending some stuff up there, you're gonna have to stop at the border. Like, is that what it's literally gonna be like?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
There's another thing that I read about it that was kind of funny. It like Space Force, here we go. So the mission of the Space Force is to maintain, protect, and expand the US fleet of advanced military satellites that form the backbone of the U.S. global military operations. So right now it sounds like they're just like creating an infrastructure in space to make everything better, like for our military. Some of the other stuff I've read, though, is literally like protect against extraterrestrial threats. And it doesn't have to be like aliens. I mean, it's like meteors. It's like all this other shit. And so I'm just like, what? Like we're funding this? It just seems wild to me. It seems wild to me. But
I watched a doc, by the way, speaking of UFOs and aliens, that it's called The Phenomenon. It was pretty interesting. I don't know if, I mean, honestly, probably was a better documentary, like with citing known facts and government documents and incidents and given that whole history from about the late 40s to current. But I would still say that the Area 51, or not Area 51, I can't remember what it's called, the Bob Lazar one. That one is that one just makes me like, it makes me think like that one, because he's telling it. So it's probably less like substantiated, but that one was more captivating to me. But this other one's really good too. It just came out in October. So it's on, I think it's like $4 to rent.
So circling back to the EMP thing.
Yeah.
Like wouldn't this be a great example of what the Space Force should be doing? Is like if we're super vulnerable in one spot, like think of the Death Star, and you can, hey, this thing is literally indestructible unless you fly down there and you shoot two bullets into the reactor, then the whole thing blows up. Like that's literally what Earth is like.
Pretty much.
And so wouldn't that be what Space Force, first off.
So what I'm hearing you say is we should just blow up the sun.
Yeah. Enough about the sun. I just think like, first off, okay. America, right? Like
America, am I right?
Right. We just have to be involved in everything. And I get it. The more you know going on, the more control you have. But like, why did we decide? Who let us decide on our own that we were going to be the police of the space? I don't get that. Anyways, we're struggling to do certain basic things in our country. And I love our country. I'll bleed hot dogs until the day I die. But why? Like, why are we the ones that decided, you know, that shit up there that we don't know anything about, we're going to take care of that?
I don't know, man. That is a good question. Have you ever seen Team America, World Police? I think that sums it up pretty nicely.
It's 100% true. Whenever anything goes wrong, and I love the fact that we're willing to reach out to other countries and provide aid for people and stuff like that where we can, because we have the resources. Where did we come up? What kind of asinine meeting was that like? That's like, guys, outer space is unpoliced.
It's unregulated.
we need to get up there and shut some shit down.
Get some speed limit signs up.
Yeah, dude. It's so weird. Some
patrols up there. Is weird, actually.
And it kind of goes along the lines with so what we were talking about with the EMP stuff. Like, if I like the idea that we have that in place, but like we definitely need to figure out something, because it's not just an American problem. If like an EMP goes off, like it's not just America's problem. That's the whole world's problem. So there needs to be something done. But like, what do you do other than like build a barrier there that's like EMP proof?
I'm not sure there's anything you can do. I'm not an electrical engineer. Well, I'm not an electrical engineer, but I just don't know enough about that type of thing, I guess. But the one thing that shocks me with the nuclear one or an EMP device, but you know how many freaking nuclear weapons have been detonated over time? I'm surprised that we didn't accidentally do that.
Well, we did a lot of stupid shit with nuclear weapons.
I know.
And the fact that, and I know the only reason we know that that happens with nuclear bombs when you set them off up in a different is because they tried it. Like, and so I'm assuming.
Yeah, but what would have happened if it was like, oh, this has a 3-mile radius, but what if they would have set it off and it just goes around the whole Earth and I just smacked the mic? But they're like, oh, we miscalculated that. And now the whole world has no electronics.
Watch the footage anybody, just watch footage of early nuclear testing. They had no idea what they were doing. Nobody was doing calculations. There's that famous video where they detonated one in the ocean with a boat like 10 feet from the explosion just to see what would happen. Like it's in the water. True. It's just going to go pih. No, it was like a 3-mile tall freaking spout shot up and then the boat was disintegrated instantly. Or the bomb used to go off. The way they wanted to use it in war, from what I understand, was our troops are sitting in the trenches. They drop the bomb. As soon as the flash goes off, the troops run towards the explosion to finish off anybody that's left. That's what they thought was going to happen. And there's videos of our guys doing it. Like they're running towards the mushroom cloud after it went off because they were practicing. Like now those guys are either dead or have four arms.
That's crazy. So,
I don't know, man. The whole idea behind nuclear stuff in general is the same. Like when everybody's talking about like, oh, they got nuclear warheads and shit like that. It's like why are people just like flashing those around like they're Pokemon cards? Like, look what I got.
Well, I love how it's like, it's so sketchy. Yeah. I love how it's like, we had the first, you know, nuclear devices or whatever. And then every other country or many, many other countries start stocking up. And then it's like, we were like, oh shit, more countries have it. We better have like 10,000 of them.
Right.
Not that like two of them wouldn't wreck the whole world.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, why do we have so fucking many of them?
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, so civilized countries are making them, but then you'll just like hear of a random like tribe in like Mongolia that managed to find a couple pieces and put it together. Like, that's a problem.
Speaking of just random thought, I don't know why it popped into my head, but have you seen, remember the yellow cake skit on the Chappelle Show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of the funniest ones. God, that show is fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. The whole idea behind nuclear weapons and giving absolute idiots absolute power is insane to me. Like I'm nowhere near the level of intelligence of some of the people that are controlling this country. But at the same time, like they're also idiots. You know what I mean? Like they make mistakes too. They have bad days too. They accidentally send a message to their girlfriend when they meant to send it to their best friend. You know what I mean? Like that's just wild to me that like that kind of important shit is being watched by like actual like imbeciles.
I just think it's crazy that it's being watched by anybody.
Right. And then the fact that we are policing an infinite space blows my mind. Like,
that is hilarious. Hey guys,
we got four people to cover infinity. You think we got enough? Like, it's just so stupid. And then also like, isn't that what people did anyways? Like they have giant telescopes pointed at the sky 24 hours a day, doing way more complicated stuff than I would ever know, taking pictures, and they can see stuff happening before it gets here. Like, isn't that already just Space Force?
Now you're telling me
if there's going to be an asteroid coming to hit us that we have to deflect or do whatever, Space Force is literally, what's his face and Ben Affleck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Armageddon. Yeah. They're going up there and they're drilling a hole in it. Like, God, that's a wild concept to me.
Yeah.
And all the other ones, here's the other side of it. If there's ever been an argument for like what branch of the military do you want to go into, that's the easiest, isn't it Space Force?
Might be.
Like
right now it is for sure.
Yeah, if we get into an intergalactic war, then Space Force might be a different story. But like,
I mean, I don't know when Trump founded it, or I don't know if I don't even know if he led it or if it was just one of the acts that he put his name on, but literally they've just been like designing uniforms and logos for the last 2 years. So
they've just been coming up with mottos. Like, yeah, it's,
how do you go to basic training for that?
Yeah. Like you just literally get a pair of binoculars and they just tell you to look up. All good over here. God, it's so stupid.
Today we're going to be working in Microsoft Word.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to learn how to freaking do an Excel spreadsheet today. Shouldn't we be in space? No, we haven't figured that out yet. God. I wonder too if like Space Force people, do they get like more classification or more knowledge than other people, because like they do need to be the ones that know about aliens.
Dude, don't even get me started. Cause I just feel like there's just like an underground group of people that are not in any visible positions of power that know, but nobody else knows. And they just are hold like, I don't know, man, watch that documentary and get back to me.
So yeah. The one thing that bothers me most about the alien, because I believe in them, like for sure. The one thing that bothers me the most about it is like, what is the reason to not tell people?
Panic.
But like, we're panicking. We panic bought toilet paper.
Like, yeah, I know. What happens if we find out there's aliens?
But that's what I'm saying is like, we panic over a new iPhone being released. We panic over a PS5 being sold out. Like, just pile it on. Like, I don't know.
That was the chance. We were already in it. Yeah. We might as well have piled it on.
Right. People were already freaking out about everything.
I don't want to go through this again if we ever get through this in the next year. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we have an alien spaceship and they've been coming for the last 45, 50 years. Everybody's going to be like, fuck.
So here's the thing, though. The only reason we would panic is because of, like, movies. Because we would assume that it's bad for us. But if they've been coming for 45 years, if not since the pyramid time, whatever you know, like clearly they're not really doing anything bad. So like, I guess I don't know where the panic, what the reason would be. Cause the panic would be like, yeah, if they're going to come down and kill us, then yeah, you panic. But if it's just like, dude, we've been hanging out with these guys for 45 years, just kind of trading some information, you know, like this is cool stuff we found.
It's true. Like,
no panic.
But we can't even get along with the other people on this world. Why would we get along with the other people that aren't from this world?
100%. Once people found out that there was aliens, there are three things are happening. We're either going to conquer them and steal their land. We're going to have sex with them, or we're going to try and turn them into slaves.
Yeah, so, basically.
Here's a crazy thing. There's an industry, and I might have talked about this early podcast. There's an industry in the world right now that is the future, that is testing all the future tech that we've ever dealt with way before anybody else. I don't know if you're going to be on the same page as me here, but this particular industry would actually thrive if aliens were a thing.
Okay, hit me.
The porn industry.
Oh, I follow you.
Because, okay, so when 3D was first coming out, like, yeah, you had Jaws 3D and you had stuff like that. Porn was using 3D way ahead of time. Like they found these cheap 3D cameras and all this stuff. And they were like, we're going to make 3D porn. Same with like virtual reality. Before it became big and became into gaming, porn was using it and like figuring shit out.
So you're telling me as soon as we start to see some alien stuff going on, then we know.
Yeah, aliens are here.
Yeah, they're here.
Yeah, right. Okay. 100%. I'll keep an eye on that.
researching today.
Yeah. That's my biggest problem with alien stuff though, is that I just don't see the reason to not tell people.
Man, I don't know. I want to know, but
yeah. An interesting thing I heard the other day on another talk show that I listened to, Covino and Rich. They were talking about, space and Space Force here. Controlling, we just decided that we're going to be the ones that control space. We're talking about, there's like scientists that have found specific meteors and stuff like that, that contain super valuable and rare like elements or materials. And that might be one of the things that Space Force is trying to do, is to collect those things to bring them to Earth to like, create new demand for new stuff, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I did see something too that they're like, oh, here's a asteroid that's not that far away and it's worth like 50 quintillion dollars or something.
Right. It's like the most expensive thing. It doesn't even make sense in our monetary system, like how much it's worth.
Right.
Yeah. October 29th, 2020, asteroid worth 10,000 quadrillion dollars.
What the hell is that? No, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It sounds like a number a little kid makes up. I hate when I click on a website and I can't, it's like, you can't view this article until you turn off your ad blocker. And it's like, well, no, that's why I have the ad blocker. But anyways, yeah. So that's another thing is like, we just created a fake thing to go police a whole area that doesn't need policing just so we can make money off of it. God, we're greedy. Money sucks.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, going back to something I said earlier about nuclears, devices, and Pokemon cards. Do you know about the new Pokemon card craze?
I don't know a single thing about it.
Holy smokes, Todd. So recently, you know Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah.
The classic card game.
Yep.
Okay, you buy the packs just like you do with baseball, basketball cards, football, everything. Every pack has a chance of a sweet card and all that stuff, right? So Pokemon cards are becoming a new form of gambling, basically.
Oh.
For example, right now, if I go to Walmart and I go to the card collecting section and I buy out their whole stock of Pokemon, I think it's like Shining Legends. I don't know. Okay. They're like booster packs that come with like six packs of cards, whatever. I can go and put them on eBay for triple the price of what I bought them in Walmart right now. Because the price of the Pokemon cards, both like pretty medium rare cards and the really expensive ones, are shooting up for some reason.
What?
So for example, Charizard, who is like the big fire dragon that's a part of Pokemon. Like one of those cards, a perfect condition card, went for $150,000.
Are you shitting me?
No. So another thing, Logic, the rapper.
Yep.
He recently shelled out $183,000 for an old school Charizard card.
Bro, I probably have one.
You probably do.
I'm not even shitting you. I might.
So there's people that are paying $375,000 for unopened classic boxes of Pokemon cards.
What? It's time to sell. I've got some.
Dude, if you have decent ones right now, okay, so right here, here's a good one. Right now, the Charizard VMAX Rainbow, okay, goes for $350 or more. So you buy a pack of these cards, I think there's like six or eight cards in there for $10. You have a chance of pulling out a $350 card. Okay. If it's even rated higher, 9.5 or 10 on the scale of like pristine, it goes up to $1,000.
So I just did a quick search. You're telling me, and I just searched Charizard Pokemon card. Yep. Are you talking, is this a new game or is this the stuff from like late 90s, 2000s?
It's the same stuff. So I did Charizard Pokemon card value. Like looking at the first edition Shadowless Charizard right now is worth $1,000 on eBay. That's like the classic. That's like when it first came out, boom, that card. Then there's new packs that are coming out that has like dark versions. Like it's the same game. They're just refacing cards. And for some reason, there's been a demand for them. And I think it was because the quarantine. People just didn't have anything to do and they started opening up Pokemon cards. But now it's like if you have one of those original boxes, like let's say you had 10 Pokemon cards you found in your garage and it's the original packaging and everything and you've never opened them and they're in still pretty good shape. I mean, you're looking at $1,000+ that you can get for those cards.
It's pretty wild, man. I definitely have some in plastic sleeves.
Right. It's
I haven't looked at them for 20 years, probably.
I've been tempted to go to Walmart and buy some of those like booster sets, if we even have them, because they're just sold out everywhere, and put them up on eBay. You buy them for $20, you sell them for $80. You know
what the heck?
Yeah, it's insane right now. So thought I'd drop that on you because I've been watching. I'm like addicted to that shit. Like watching it on YouTube lately.
That's crazy.
Like somebody's like, I spent $200,000 on Pokemon cards. Hopefully, I get one. And it's just them flipping through cards and they're like, oh shit, here's $1,000 one. And then, oh, that was a bad one. You know what I mean? And there's like sketchiness that goes along with it. Like apparently you can weigh the card packs. And if it's heavy, that means it's got a good one. Then they sneakily open it, take the good one out, reseal it, sell it to somebody. Yeah, it's crazy.
Jeez.
So Pokemon, man, if you're looking to quit your job, become a Pokemaster.
Go digging in my old stuff and see what I got.
honestly, I would check it out. I've never got into Pokemon. But there's some people.
I was probably just a little bit young, like, you know, a year younger than you, to the point where I did a little bit of it. I was like maybe like 12.
Right.
When it was peaking, but I was probably on the older end of the people doing it. And I'm pretty sure I still have a bunch of them.
Yeah, you probably do. And if you got an original freaking Charizard in there and it's in decent shape, I'll tell you where to send it in to get looked at and to get appraised. And then, you'll be set. So
crazy.
The other side of that that's kind of interesting too is just like the comic book side of stuff. So I used to work with a guy who had an insane collection of comic books, and he was an older guy. And so he had some of the original runs of comic books that were like, he bought two of them. He'd buy one for like to read when he was younger, and then he would buy another one, put it on a board and bag it, and then just put it in a box and leave it alone.
That's smart.
And when all the Marvel movies started coming out, the prices started shooting up. Like, this guy had like super important issues of Spider-Man that were worth like thousands of dollars.
Damn, that's cool.
And it was pretty cool to see him. Like, he also probably ruined his life buying comic books, to the point where he didn't have much of a savings or backup plan when he retired. But like, when he started finding out that those things were valuable, he might have been able to just take care of the rest of his life by selling a couple of them. So
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think about it a lot too with shoes. Like, man, to have like, to have like some of the original Jordans, and like they're in great shape and you never wore them, you just because you're like Jordan and you're a collector. Holy cow, man! Like, you're in a good spot right now.
I've got the LeBrons. I'm waiting like another 20 years.
Yeah, when LeBron's career is over and he starts re-releasing stuff, if he goes that route, I think here's my thing though. I think Jordan's shoes are better looking than LeBron's earlier shoes. LeBron found a stride though with his shoes lately. I really like them. But I think the shoes were just such a big part of Jordan's like legacy that's why his are going to be so much higher than LeBron's.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I still think you're onto something. LeBron retires, and next thing you know, you got a freaking pair of the twos or whatever, and he dies, and you have like a bunch of the original runs. Like, holy shit!
I have I sent you a picture of them the other day. I have the Well, so I had two. I had the original Zoom Generations, the very first LeBron shoe, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it might be the best basketball shoe I've ever owned. So I wore the hell out of them. Like a couple years later, I found another set that had never been worn in the home team colorway. So it's like still the original one, but in the Cavs colors.
Yeah.
And I have those in the box still.
Didn't you buy the wheat versions?
No, I wanted to. Dude, okay. They went crazy in the last few years.
Yeah. They're $170 bucks on eBay right now. Yeah. $170 bucks.
I thought they were like $500 bucks.
They might be more. That was a quick glance on there. That might have been an opening bid. But yeah, I wish there would have been something that I collected as I was growing up. I just used everything. I was like, screw it. I'm just going to open it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to do whatever. You know, I just never saved anything. So
there's something to be said for that, though.
Yeah.
Enjoy it rather than stash it away. Carry it with you forever.
Yep. Yeah, man. What else you got? You got anything else on the docket for today? I know we were going to try and knock out a Sunday episode later.
I think we hold. I know, so I'll tease it for the folks that listen to this episode. We've been talking about it for a while, but let's do the IQ test results on Sunday. Yeah. We're going to hit that. We're going to have a power ranking. Hopefully we'll have a, you know, think about it, ask an engineer question, or if you get one, somebody else write one in. And then maybe we'll hit the Google search inquiries as well. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And then whatever else we get into in the next couple of days.
Yeah. I think it'll be Sunday, and then I'd like to sneak one in before I head to on the weekend before I head back to school. It might be kind of nice to sneak one more in. We'll see though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, man, I feel good. Like talking and everything, I don't feel as bad as I thought I would, and I'm hungry now and I can't eat anything. I mean, I can, but I can't taste anything, so which is weird. I was thinking about that. Like, should this be the time that I like eat healthy.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because I still think like if I were to go get something from Taco Bell right now, chicken quesadilla, extra jalapeno sauce with no taste or anything. I still think I've had enough of them in my lifetime that my mind is going to give me a taste sensation anyways.
It might.
Cause I could taste that with my eyes closed. So,
I'm about to try it.
Yeah. So I'll keep you updated on how that's going, but we'll get together on Sunday and we'll throw it in the ocean.
Throw it in the ocean. That's right.
Yeah. Again, Todd, man, thanks for getting me going today and getting this going with me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man. Thanks, everybody.
All right, guys. See you later.